Hello, my name's Julie Marsh and I'm a partner in the medical negligence team at Boys Turner. Today I'm joined by my colleague and partner Claire Owntree, who works in our personal injury team at Boys Turner. Today Claire and I are talking about cases involving spinal cord injury, the causes of such an injury that we see in our day-to-day work, and the key concerns and challenges people living with a spinal cord injury face. Hi Claire, thanks for joining me today.
Hi Julie.
So Claire, please can you tell me about some of the causes of a spinal cord injury that you see in your line of work?
Most of the cases that we're involved in are caused by road traffic accidents, where we've acted for drivers and passengers in all types of vehicles, such as cars, coaches, trains, etc. And also cycling and motorbike accidents. We also see spinal cord injuries caused by accidents in the workplace as well, and particularly involving falls from heights such as ladders or due to falling objects. Julie, your cases are often quite different as to the cause of injury. What type of cases have you been involved in that have resulted in a spinal cord injury?
That's right, Claire. A lot of the cases that I am involved in relate to a delay in diagnosis and or treatment for a condition called cauda equina syndrome. And this is where a disc in the spine prolapses or moves out of place to the extent that it causes compression on the nerves at the base of the spine, called the cauda equina nerves or the horse's tail. These nerves control bowel and bladder and sexual function, and if damaged as a result of compression, can result in permanent and life-changing injuries. In the past, I've also been involved in cases involving tumours or cysts on the spine, conditions that again have been missed, resulting in a delay in treatment. I have also been involved in cases where surgery has been carried out at the incorrect level of the spine or poorly, so that revision surgery and therefore an injury has occurred.
And what are the common concerns that clients talk to you about after experiencing a spinal cord injury, Julie?
They can be really varied. Sometimes it's about taking the time to heal and adjust to a new way of living, and people are concerned about how they're going to face the future. Quite often people have financial worries and they're worried about returning to work. They're worried about rehabilitation and just generally how their life might change. Recently, we've had a bit of a survey from the spinal cord injury support group that I work with called Cauda Equina Syndrome Spinal Cord Injury. And a lot of the people in that group have offered words of advice to somebody with a new spinal cord injury, involving thinking about taking time to heal and adjust to a new way of living, making adaptations to your life sooner rather than later, seeking support and information about your injury and rehabilitation, talking to someone and mental health issues, and allowing yourself to grieve for what you've been through. It's also so important to research social and financial support available and think about physio and occupational therapy.
We see similar issues too. Many of our clients talk about a loss of independence and the psychological impact that an accident involving a spinal cord injury has. For example, adjusting to discharge from that safe, acute, inpatient rehabilitation setting back to home and dealing with the loss and learning about their injury and the impact that it's going to have on family, work and everyday activities. So access to psychological help is really important for our clients too. They also are concerned about ongoing rehabilitation, particularly OT and physio. And so for some people who are discharged home, there can be a real anxiety about getting to appointments. So having OT and physio organised in the home setting is quite important as well. And then there are financial issues. So we try to signpost to welfare benefits advisors to help with setting up benefits, and then look to set up a personal injury trust in our cases to protect the ongoing entitlement to those benefits as well, so that they can continue to receive them if they receive large interim payments during the course of the claim. Home adaptations, as you mentioned, is really important, and also aids and equipment such as wheelchairs and specialist equipment at home such as beds or lifts or IT. Many of our clients, we organise care packages as well and look at suitable vehicles that will transport them to and from appointments and keep them connected to the community. And then we also come across a whole host of legal issues that may arise from their spinal cord injury, such as any issues arising out of statutory funding, any employment issues, family issues, debt or power of attorney, that sort of thing.
So some common themes between the clients that we commonly help.
Absolutely.
So what's the benefit of bringing a legal claim?
Well, the purpose of a personal injury claim and no doubt a clinical negligence claim as well is to restore the individual as much as possible to the financial position they would have been had their accident or injury not occurred, in order to provide financial security. We also look to access interim payments at an early stage to assist with financial hardship where that's possible. So in personal injury claims as well as clinical negligence claims, there has to be an admission of liability. It's also very important in the personal injury setting to get early access to rehabilitation. And so we try to work with insurers to appoint a case manager, usually a nurse or an OT or a physiotherapist by background, who meets with the client and their family early on in the compensation process. And the aim is to try to identify any immediate needs and any medium to long-term goals to help the injured person make the best and quickest possible recovery given their injury.
So in your experience, Claire, what does rehabilitation look like for a spinal cord injured person?
When we talk about rehabilitation in the claims process and making the best possible recovery, there are four real areas of focus in the rehabilitation and recovery journey: medical, social, vocational, and psychological. So medical is obviously the treatment side of things, such as physiotherapy, occupational therapy. Vocational is trying to identify whether that person is able to go back to the job that they used to do prior to their accident. And if not, looking at the transferable skills that they might have, helping them to find other work, look at retraining, look at voluntary or phased return. Social is about reinstating a level of independence in the community. So accessing activities that maybe they did before, but obviously with a spinal cord injury, or finding new activities and interests that they can take part in, which is good for mental well-being. And then the psychological side of that is the support that they need to adjust to the injury and adjust to their new way of life.
And I think that's one of the biggest hurdles for those living with a serious and life-changing injury is that psychological impact and the need to kind of readjust for the future and think again about what your future might look like now. So access to rehabilitation is obviously vital, and the ability to access this support differs as part of the legal process, depending on whether your injury occurred as a result of negligent care, so a medical negligence claim, or as an accident at work or a road traffic accident. That's right, isn't it?
That's right. So in personal injury claims, the process is different to clinical negligence claims. We try to work with defendant insurers in accordance with the Rehabilitation Code. And the code is voluntary, and it provides a framework for us, the claimant solicitor, and the compensator, the defendant insurer, to work together to ensure the claimant's health, quality of life, independence, and ability to work are restored before or simultaneously with the process of accessing compensation. Where there is no agreement on liability, the parties may still agree to use the code. The health and economic benefits of proceeding with rehabilitation at an early stage, regardless of agreement on liability, is especially strong in catastrophic cases such as spinal cord injury cases. I know that the rehab code doesn't apply in clin-neg cases, Julie, so how do your clients obtain support?
That's right. Unfortunately, until we get an admission of liability in a clinical negligence claim, we can't access interim funds to then help the client access rehabilitation. Some clients do choose to self-fund in the meantime, but a lot of people don't have the means to do that and so do rely on the NHS and statutory services. We do signpost to support groups like the Corder Aquinas support group that we work with. We encourage our clients to seek ongoing medical support via the GP and NHS. And with our spinal cord injury clients, we often suggest seeking a referral into a special spinal injury rehab unit via their GP. sadly, this might not be enough or happen as quickly as we would like it to. And that is why it is so important to investigate if you might have grounds to bring a claim as soon as possible. With an early admission of liability from a defendant in a clinical negligence claim, we can then secure interim funds on account of compensation, and that can then be used to access specialist medical support and help address all those other issues of concern that you spoke about earlier.
That's right, and the benefit of a legal claim can be financial security for the future.
And once the claim is concluded, it allows the individual to continue to access everything they need for the rest of their life. We quite often compromise cases on the basis of a provisional damages award, on the basis that if something happens in the future, a deterioration or a further injury arising out of the original issue, then further compensation can be sought. It's also important to consider whether an annual payment in respect of ongoing care needs to be made and factored in as part of any settlement discussion. This means that there'll be ongoing annual payments for care costs for the rest of the client's life. The other thing that we look to do at the conclusion of a claim is seek investment advice for our clients so that they can plan financially for the future. It's been great to talk to you today, Claire. Thanks very much for sharing your experience of working with clients with a spinal cord injury and the importance of the rehab journey.
Thanks, Julie.
If you have suffered a spinal cord injury, or if you have any questions about a personal injury or clinical negligence claim, you can find our contact details on our website, boysturnerclaims.com. And if you like our podcast, then please click follow or subscribe using the usual platforms.